This is Southwest Christadelphian Bible School, the 13th of July, 2013, Class 6. Our speaker is Brother Peter King from Worcester, UK. His theme is Joshua, the Servant of the Lord, and today's title is Be Therefore Very Courageous. Brother Peter?
Well, good morning, brethren and sisters. Just let me say thank you to the committees and to the brethren and sisters here at this Bible school for making it such a memorable event for all the right reasons for Carol and me. We've enjoyed being with you immensely, and we'll pray for the continuance of this lovely Bible school, that you might, if our Lord remains away, meet again next year and in coming years and strengthen each other in fellowship. We've enjoyed being with you. Thank you. Two little points before we start the little study today. A little incident in the middle of the book of Joshua, and then, with your permission, a little epilogue at the end, which I hope and pray will sort of wind up what we've been trying to say. I've fallen in love with Joshua again. Always did love him. Will you come with me to chapter 14, please, of that book? Joshua chapter 14. By the time we've reached this portion, halfway through the book, Israel have done a good job in defeating many of the local communities and establishing themselves in the land. They've been fighting the battle now since Jericho. By the time we reach chapter 14, they've been fighting the Lord's battles for 5 years, non-stop. The 2.5 tribes have shown great faith in leaving their families unprotected on the east of Jordan while they crossed the river with the army and fought the battle instructed by Joshua. They've gone home. Great 2.5 very faithful tribes. And they found their wives and their little ones. And their cattle, flocks, perfectly safe. God keeps his promises. You fight my battles, and I will look after you. And so we hear for the last time now about our brother Caleb. Chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's for ever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. This is the bit. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 85. And he wanted a birthday present. I mean, he's entitled to, Brother Jimmett, at 85. to ask for a birthday present. But that's not the end of the matter. Just look at the grace of our God, will you? Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength is now, both for war, to go out, and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For you heard, the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. What an inheritance! The very place of the burial of Abraham. And Caleb, the faithful man, inherited. But look what he said. He said, when Moses called me to go and spy out the land, I was 40 years old. I wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. It wasn't my fault. I wanted to go in and take the land there and then. But my brethren made the heart of the people fail. What did they say? The walls reach under heaven. And we were like grasshoppers in their sight. Same walls, same people, 40 years later. Different attitude, you see. I was 40 years old, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now I've been fighting the Lord's battles for 5 years. I'm 85, but I'm like a 40-year-old. That's the wonder of it, brethren and sisters. There won't be any old men and old women in the kingdom of God. Nobody will go in on crutches and sticks. Nobody will go limping in there and tapping the floor in front of them with a white stick. This is our brother Josh, Caleb now, colleague of Joshua, saying, the wilderness journey fell off me. I'm like a 40-year-old. And so he inherits Hebron. Well, that was a little introduction. We didn't say that during the course of the week, but it's a passage which I'm passionate about. I love that area of Joshua chapter 14, where Caleb asks for his birthday present. Jacob had 12 sons by 4 women. Easy to remember. Ever so easy, even for somebody like me, I can remember this. The 6 and 3 2s. 6, of course, belonged to Leah. She had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And then there was a space in her childbearing. Meanwhile, Rachel, not able to bear children herself, said to her husband, take Bilhah, and I'll have children by her. And she did. And she called him Dan, which means God has judged me. So you can almost see her looking at Leah and saying, well, I couldn't have children by my husband, but God has judged and come down on my side. And I'll call him Dan. Oh, dear. We just don't learn the lessons, do we? I mean, she should have thought of what happened to Sarah. Can't have children myself, so I'll give you Hagar. And Ishmael was born. And look what a problem that caused. He was sent off. And eventually it's going to happen to Dan. He's going to leave. Oh, if only we would ponder the words of Scripture and learn. I'm talking to me, not you or them. So many ways in which our lives would be altered if only we would hear the lessons of Scripture. So many ways. And she had a second son, did Bilhah, and she called him Naphtali. And Leah, seeing that Rachel had given Bilhah to Jacob, says, take my maid. I'll have more children through her. And so Zilpah, Leah's maid, is given to Jacob. And Gad is born. And another one, Asher, is born. And then Leah falls pregnant again after this incident and gives birth to two other sons, Issachar and Zebulun. And Rachel, well, the Lord looks on her and says, I'll cause you to conceive. And you can therefore have a son. And she did, and she called his name Joseph. And later on, of course, she had another son and called him Benjamin, but died at childbirth and was buried at Bethlehem. So Leah, 6. Bilhah, Zilpah, and Rachel, 2 each. 12 sons. And to Leah also, daughters were born, but one very special, and I believe a very beautiful girl, who rivaled Rachel in looks. And her name, Dinah, which is the feminine of Dan. And she too is going to cause problems. The Danites had this awful tendency to either marry out of the faith or leave the community altogether and go and live somewhere else. And Dinah, no exception, goes off with the uncircumcised. Dan then, born out of incessant rivalry, really, between two women. Jacob had his wives, Leah and Rachel. Rachel had charm and looks, and Leah had children. Each wanted what the other had. Leah craved the affection of her husband. Read this strange incident about the mandrakes. Very odd. I think we call it Viagra in England today, not sure. Sleep with me, give me more children. So following Sarah's unhappy example, Bilhah is given to Jacob and Dan is born. Oh, dear me. Rachel says, God has judged me. I wonder if she would have said that had she been able to look into the future and see that what happened to Ishmael, Hagar's son, would also happen to her son, Dan. And this daughter, Leah, goes off with the uncircumcised. There were 4 men of notable character in Dan. It's a strange tribe, is Dan. Well, we'll just develop this a little bit in a moment or two. But there were 4 men which jump off the page for us, all belonging to the tribe of Dan. You have to look very hard to find something that's good that's said about the tribe of Dan. Their standard was the eagle, but they never took it. You look at Ezekiel and Revelation, and you find that where the other tribes are listed in great detail, no mention about Dan. First one was the son of a woman from Dan whose husband was an Egyptian. There you are, even in the wilderness, they're marrying out of the faith. This Danite woman marries an Egyptian, and the Egyptian blasphemed the name of the God of Israel. A faithful man of Israel heard him and said, we can't have this, blaspheming the name of our God who's brought us out of bondage. And they have a fight. To the Danite man. And the man, the Egyptian man who married the Danite woman, The Egyptian man marries the Danite woman. The Egyptian has a fight with the faithful Israelite. And the case is brought to the judges. And the Egyptian man is stoned to death. The second man to whom we come into collision when we think about Dan, the tribe of Dan, is Aholiab. He was a colleague who worked with Bezalel in the wilderness. He was a very, very skilled, I love Aholiab. He's a very skillful man. He had the ability to put a decoration on one side of the veil, which came true on the other side of the veil. If your sisters do embroidery today, well, maybe you're better than my mother was. You know, this side is perfectly good. But have a look at the other side, it's a terrible mess. But Aholiab was so clever, he could put the pattern on the veil between the holy place and the most holy that came true on both sides. Whichever way you looked at it, there it is, good. So that it doesn't matter whether you look at it from man's point of view or God's point of view, you get the good, straight, same picture. Oh, Aholiab was very clever. A Frenchman discovered this 100 years ago. But nothing's new, is it? I love the word of God for this. It makes me smile from time to time. You know, supermarkets advertise their products. Come on, buy this, will you, Dave? Two for one. You buy this, we'll give you one free. Is that new? Of course not. Come back to the time of Elisha. You'll find they were doing it in Samaria, when they robbed all the tents and the stores of the Syrians. And they said, a bag of fine flour for a shekel, two bags of barley for a shekel. Here, well, buy one, get one free. And we think we're doing it new. But Aholiab developed this skill brilliantly. They were super workers, you know, weren't they, in the wilderness? To do this on this thick veil and get the pattern that side and that side exactly the same. And to engrave stones that would go on the high priest's dress when he went into the most holy place. Engraving stones in the wilderness. Have you ever noticed how it often takes more than one person or more than one thing to represent the Lord Jesus?